Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Read with your money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Read. I'm Michelle Martin. Our featured book today gives us fascinating insight into the life and personality of the world's richest man. Why is Elon Musk so utterly unafraid of risks, it asks. The book is titled Elon Musk, subtitle Risking It All, a new unauthorized biography written by a man with unique insight into Musk. He went to school with him. Michael Vlismas, welcome to Read.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Great to be with you.
You are a journalist. You own your own sports media agency. This is an unauthorized biography. What I found interesting at the start was you reached out unsuccessfully to Elon and his mother, May, for comment. And then we get to his father, who does respond to you, and it's rather cryptic. And we'll get into that in a moment. But tell us, why did you feel that this was a story that you wanted to and could write about?
Well, he is such an enigmatic character and such a polarizing figure and probably the most dominant cultural voice in society at the moment. And he's taking on these impossible tasks and dreams, and he has this, you know, this utopian side to him. So he really is a fascinating individual. And then, you know, when it sort of boiled down to we shared the same high school, he grew up in the same town, Pretoria, as I grew up. And you know, there was when Jonathan Ball, the publisher, said, you know, we'd like to tell his story from a more South African perspective, because that side of it is, you know, forgotten, that he spent 17 years in South Africa before going abroad. So all of that sort of commonality really intrigued me. And I thought, yes, you know, I think I can add a bit more value in terms of what shaped him in those early years, the environment he grew up in, and how that possibly impacted on where he went and what he became.
I don't know if we could talk a little bit about Musk's South African roots. Do we get a sense of society in South Africa, the struggle against apartheid? Does that all come into the story that you tell in this book?
It definitely does. I paint the picture that he was certainly born and raised in a very turbulent time in the country's history, a very political time, a lot of challenges faced by the country, and in a sort of a strange juxtaposition, you know, he always believed his dreams and his future lay in America, and he believed everything that was happening there that he wanted to be a part of was in America. And yet at the same time, he's being raised in a country that is sort of closing itself off to the rest of the world because of its policies, whereas he needed to get to a country that was opening itself up to the world, obviously, and opening itself up to the universe in terms of space exploration. So I definitely get into that. You know, his family was fairly liberal, not a supporter of the policy of apartheid. His father was a city councillor for the Progressive Federal Party, which was the forerunner of what is today the Democratic Alliance in South Africa. So certainly, and he does definitely, you know, he leaves South Africa to avoid the mandatory military conscription and the 2 years that he would have had to serve after school. So we definitely do touch on those elements of what was maybe the push for him to move to America.
I think there's a myth that Elon's money comes in part from his family and their dealings in South Africa. Does the book talk about how Elon amassed his wealth and whether any of it was inherited?
I definitely get into that, because that is the great challenge with Elon Musk, is that there's so much written about him and around him, and a lot of myth that gets just perpetuated, and a lot of stuff that you see online and in newspapers and magazines that just keep rolling on without checking some of those background facts. And it's for that reason that I specifically avoided, when tackling this book, avoided reading any other books about him, because I wanted to form my own opinions and do my own research. And yes, there is the myth about the Zambian emerald mine that his father purportedly owned. And it's, you know, I do get into that and put that into perspective, that it's far less grandiose than it sounds in the media. His father was wealthy. His father was successful, a very successful mechanical engineer in Pretoria, had a good business. And everybody I spoke to that knew the family said he was a very driven man, a very successful man. He had a number of houses in a very plush part of Pretoria that is known as Embassy Lane. And so he did certainly have means, and Elon grew up privileged as a white South African would have done as well. But there is no sense that it was that wealth that catapulted him to anything when he went to Canada and America. In fact, he actually made it largely on his own there, doing really menial jobs, farm work, tough jobs, a bit in a logging factory as well, before he then went to America and then started his first company. And then certainly when he sold that, then the wealth certainly came. So I do think he would have had a level of privilege growing up, but he is certainly, in my opinion, I think he's very much a self-made man.
What insights does this book share with readers about Musk's family dynamics and how that affected perhaps the shaping of his personality?
That is a great conundrum. You know, he remains extremely close to his mother, May, and cares deeply for her. He's very close to his siblings. You know, the big elephant in the room, so to speak, is the relationship with Errol, his father. And Elon has come out on a number of occasions and accused his father of horrendous acts of evil. You know, you wouldn't believe what he can do. And he's been quoted as saying these things. And, you know, I looked deep into a lot of those elements and I couldn't find the really nefarious evil side of Errol Musk that is purported to or propagated about him. But certainly there was a lack of sort of paternal love, I think. I think Errol Musk is a driven, competitive man, and I think he's instilled that in his son and gave him a lot of opportunity to become what he's become. Some of Errol Musk's friends that I spoke to said, you know, Elon's imagination certainly comes from Errol, and that engineering mindset and so on. You know, he would often say to Elon, no gap years, never mind gap weekends. No gap weekends, never mind gap years. So there was no sense of time off. You work, and you be the best that you can be. But I think what suffered there was maybe a softer side, a more fatherly figure that maybe Elon would maybe have wanted a bit more of. And I think that's where also Errol has a propensity as a bit of a womanizer. And I think that got between the two of them as well. I think that was the final straw in their relationship.
Errol Musk is the only of the Musk clan that does respond to your emails when you reach out to Elon, his mother, and his father for information for this book. And he seems pretty definite that no book can be written without his input. Beyond that, did he have any insights to share with you? Or what did you take? How did you read his response?
It was very strange. You know, I reached out to him a year before he came back to me. And, you know, I managed to get a contact number for him, try to phone him as well. And I reached out to him on a number of channels. And on one of them, he did come back to me. And it was a perplexing response because he did say, you know, nobody knows Elon better than I do. And he was raised in my household. And he said he'd written a number of letters to the publisher of the book and wanted to publish that. And the publisher shown no interest. So I checked that with the publisher and they said they had no record of receiving such a manuscript from him or anything like that. But, and then he mentioned that there was the great biographer, Walter Isaacson, was writing an official biography of Elon Musk currently. And that in his words, Walter is lost without me and needs to check in with me every single day. So I wasn't so sure about that. Walter Isaacson, obviously an accomplished writer. I don't think he would need to be spoon-fed anything. But I also couldn't find any proof that this autobiography is in the making. It may well be. But yeah, I did find the response very, very strange because I did go back to him and I said, it's precisely for the reason that you claim you've been misrepresented by the Musk family so much that I did reach out to you because I want to get your side of the story. And then he just went cold, read the message, but never responded.
So on a U.S. television show, I think it was SNL, Elon Musk openly talked about having Asperger's. I mean, he joked about it. He said, I don't have a lot of intonation or variation in how I speak, which I'm told makes for good comedy. I think a lot of us who have, you know, YouTubed him to watch him have been a little taken aback by his somewhat lack of expression when it comes to speech. He comes across as quite awkward. So you went to high school with him, but you were 4 years behind. I wonder, did you get a sense of how his peers regarded him?
I did. A number of his classmates of the time, I also interviewed his first real childhood friend at primary school or grade school, as you might call it. And you know, the feedback came back all the time that a very shy, introverted child pretty much kept to himself and wasn't sort of really out there too much. His brother, Kimball, on the other hand, a lot of Kimball's school friends, you know, said, you know, he was the extrovert. Kimball was the outgoing type and so on. But Elon really kept to himself. Even his high school science teacher, who we shared, the same science teacher, by the way, she said that he was also, you know, would sit at the back of the class. And despite being such a good student and obviously getting some great marks in science in particular, he really just got on with his work and kept to himself. And I went through a lot of the school's records and history and yearbooks and things like that. And he hardly even features. He's almost invisible in a sense. And, you know, spoke to the headmaster, who also was my headmaster at my time there. And I had a lovely chat with him. And he said that, you know, when Elon started making waves in the world, Time magazine contacted him and wanted to ask him what kind of boy was Elon at high school. And he said, look, I'd love to tell you, but I really don't know. I didn't have that much contact with him. So he certainly seemed like he did his own thing and existed a little bit in his own world. And I think that is a common theme throughout school. I think he was very much in his own world and busy with his own vision and his own plans.
And here we are talking about Musk almost every day on business TV or radio. This book focuses on Musk's penchant for taking risks. But I wonder, is there anything in the book that helps us make sense of why we see him in the headlines, how he's thundering that you have to come back to work if you work at Tesla, it has to be physically at work or leave, you know? Is there any insight into that part of the personality, which seems, you know, difficult?
It does. And I think, again, that is just the very driven nature of the individual. He said early on in his life, I've always had a high innate drive, and he's never been really sure where that's come from. It could well be just a South African thing. South Africans by nature are very competitive, very hardworking, you know, and very driven individuals. And you see it in a number of arenas, particularly in the sports arena. It could be that environment that shaped him. But I think it definitely has a lot to do with his father. I think there was also quite an innate push and a drive. One of his childhood friends related when they would drive in the car with Elon and his dad, they would often play games, and they would be maths-related games. You know, he would ask them, how far do you think that mountain is from the car? And if we're traveling at this speed and to this destination, what time do you think we'll get there? So he would play those games the whole time, stimulating that side of his son's mind. So I do think he has grown up with a very clear vision that, you know, hard work is the way to success. And I think you see it in his relationship with money and the risks he takes. He doesn't seem to be driven or motivated by money at all, purely because of the fact that he invests his entire fortunes back into the visions that he has and the dreams that he has. So there is very much something deeper driving Elon Musk to do what he does and take on the projects that he takes on. And I think, yes, I think it must be very tricky working for somebody like that, because they obviously expect the same from the people they work with.
Where do you think Musk's fascination with space and the technological future of humanity can be traced to?
That was certainly his childhood. He grew up loving science fiction, books, comics, and a number of his primary school friends corroborated that when I spoke to them. Always, you know, reading science fiction comics or books and very interested in that world. And I think it was sort of teased even more by the kind of isolated environment he grew up in, you know, having also grown up in the same town and at that same kind of time. South Africa was very, very closed off to the rest of the world. And I just remember anything as simple as trying to get an Archie comic, you would have had to go to your local news agent and put in an order for that. And then they would get it eventually, maybe a week or so later, and it would be there in a folder waiting for you. You'd go back, you'd pay for it. And there was that anticipation that superhero comics, all that kind of thing, there was that wait for them to arrive at the newsagent and you would go and collect it. It wasn't as readily available as it would have been anywhere else. So I think that maybe stimulated that mystique probably for him a little bit as well. And also the push to say, well, I need to get to the origin of these things. And that is America. We were, you know, as kids, you know, we were in awe of, I suppose, anybody. You were in awe of America and their sport and their culture and all of those kind of things. And the little bit you could get in South Africa certainly piqued that interest even more.
What insights did you, you know, hope that this book would be able to glean in terms of that question, why is Musk a visionary?
It is a very interesting question. And when it comes to him, why is he, you know, so focused on these big tasks? And I think what I've tried to leave the reader with is, I haven't tried to form an opinion. I've tried to give a balanced view, the pros and the cons of the individual and what may have shaped him. I would be happy if somebody went away saying, or feeling that this is an important person to have in our society, an important mind to have in society, because he does think about things differently, and he thinks about traditional things that society has done in a particular way for a very long time. He thinks about it differently, and I think we need those voices. We need those people out there that say, but hang on, can we look at it differently? You see it that every industry he's moved into, he has had an effect. Now, you might say, okay, well, that's just being a disruptor. But he has moved it in a different way, whether it's electric vehicles. Suddenly, every traditional car manufacturer out there now must have an electric offering. He's accelerated, so to speak, that debate. Even now with Twitter, nobody knows why he wants to buy Twitter or why he wants to own Twitter. But suddenly, we're all talking and having serious conversations about what do we want from social media? How do we get the social media we feel we as human beings deserve? So I do think he's an important voice to have, and I'd like to see that nurtured more than him going up against the establishment in that sense and people feeling threatened.
I thought it was really interesting that you say in the book you use public information. You also interviewed a lot of people who, knew him in South Africa, who were acquaintances. When did you decide, okay, this is where the book has to end, and where does the book end for readers?
What a tricky, tricky problem with a man like Elon Musk, because the minute you hit that full stop and you think we're done, Twitter explodes and suddenly he's buying Twitter. He's such a moving target all the time. At one stage I joked and I said, this could actually just be volume one of Elon Musk's life, because it's just going to continue. It's going to carry on. And I had to eventually draw a line somewhere. We did manage to update with some of the Twitter debate for the book. But yes, it is so difficult with Elon Musk because, what is he going to take on next? What is he going to do next? It happens, as you say, on a daily basis. He's in the news. So I just felt I had to give the reader a timeline, a brief snatch of his life, a moment in Musk, so to speak, and say that this is, if you want to know more about him, this would be, I'd like you to get that out of this book. But there is still much more to come, absolutely. He's certainly not going to stop where the book has stopped.
It's a book as fascinating as the man. Michael Vlismas is the author of Elon Musk, Risking It All. Thank you for being here with us on Read, Michael.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Michelle. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.